This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy Saturday, folks. You know, I'm doing this show while I'm on the road. And I am meeting thousands, literally thousands of people. I can kind of tell how many people I talk to every day by how many cards I hand out. And it's been averaging somewhere between 200 and 300 cards a day, each book signing. Been at Barnes & Nobles and indie stores, up and down the Front Range of Colorado and Wyoming, meeting all sorts of great folks, new readers who are picking up my books, and old readers who are terrific and bugging me for book four, which is on its way. But it's been really interesting. Of all the years that I've done this, and it's not that many, you know, the first book just came out 3 years ago. But over the last 3 years, I do my December book signing tour and another one in the spring. And, of course, the state fairs over the course of the year. And in talking to all these great people, and without exception, I mean, people are terrific. I have never, ever run into a almost unanimous, I mean, I can hardly think of a few exceptions. An almost unanimous feeling of anger and discontent, even in this holiday season, that I have this year. I mean, without me even bringing it up, people make all sorts of comments about the government, Obama, the administration, Congress, Democrats. Particularly down here in Colorado, which is where I'm at now, folks are, they're just unhappy with their local governments, with very few exceptions. Their state government, although they're pleased, they finally kicked the bums out, and there's now a conservative majority again in Colorado, which, unfortunately for this state, hasn't had one for a number of years. And suffered with all sorts of anti-energy regulations, ridiculous progressive rules, regulations, laws, and statutes, gun control, you name it. People are not happy. And yes, you know, they're in the holiday season and they're buying for mom or dad or sis or daughter or grandpa or grandma. But there's almost not a person that I talk to, if I talk to them for any length of time, you know, a few minutes, let's say, which is a length of time in a book signing, that some kind of comment doesn't come from them unsolicited about their or related to giving me an insight into their discontent. And, you know, in watching what's been going on, and I haven't been able to do my usual, like, in-depth study over the last week because I've been on the road, but trust me, I've done quite a bit, and there's some great articles, I might add, posted today under terror, family safety, one or two under women, which will just make you gals, women and family, make you gals and family folks shake your head. Watching the Democrats on a national level kind of deconstruct, you know, hit the let's burn everything in our path, scorched earth button. You know, this $1.1 trillion cromnibus bill that they passed with Republican help. I mean, yes, there were 206 votes against it in the House, but, you know, it passed, even though it was by 13 votes, 219 to 206, I think it was something like that. And this bill funds Obamacare for another year, really? And it funds Obama's amnesty? Are you serious? Now, you know, maybe I'll stack this up to some kind of clever idea by the Republicans and Boehner. the Republicans that voted for it. Obviously, 206 did not, and there were some Democrats who voted against it too, although because it wasn't far left enough, whatever the reasons. Do they have some kind of grand game here? Is this part of a chess game? Have they gotten smart and adopted some progressive tactics? You know, the head feint, the do this with a nod and a wink, but you're going to do something pretty quick, just the opposite later. I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. I mean, yeah, they're in a tough position from here until about January 6th, when conservatives take over the Senate again, and the Senate actually becomes a functioning body, unlike rather than just a shield, a foil, to make sure that nothing reaches Obama's desk that could be the least bit controversial. You know, maybe they're thinking, okay, we're going to pass this bill, but when we have the majority in both houses here, literally 20 working days from now, a month from now, less than a month, we're going to dismantle this bill, and we're going to do this thing right. And right, which of course has not happened for the last 6 years under Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, is 12 appropriation bills a year to fund different aspects of the government. Not one big $1.1 trillion pork laden, you know, here's some money for you to work on your pet projects, Mr. President bill, which is what this $1.1 trillion was. Including, by the way, I might add, money for all of Harry Reid's cronies, scumbucket, fellow, corrupt buddies down in Nevada in the casino industry. That guy is just a scourge. He's just a scourge. Those treason trials should absolutely include him. And so maybe they're thinking, we're going to pass this now. We're going to kind of get over this hump of still not having the majority in the Senate, because whatever we do right now, the Senate's going to shoot down anyway. And then when we have control of both houses, we're going to vote this bill out and do our 12 appropriation bills and defund this amnesty, defund Obamacare, and use the power of the purse that the Constitution gives us to stop this president once and for all. I don't know. I'd be really interested in what you think. Drop me a line. Put a post on the radio site. You know, don't be bashful. I like posts on the radio site. And my apologies if I'm not getting back to them as quick as I normally do. But on the road, I have limited time. That's one thing that kind of struck my eye, shall we say, kind of tickled my brain over the course of this week. I'm scratching my head over this. And then we have the spectacle of Dianne Feinstein. You know, on one hand, women say, well, you gals are probably going to get angry over this. Women say, you know, we are equal to men, and we can do this, and we can do that, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We should be the first, we should have the first woman president. Oh, heaven forbid. That's a whole nother can of worms that's getting open this week, or trying to be open this week. Hillary's passed. But on one hand, you have women saying that, and on the other, you have the apparent, and there's a growing consensus about this, by the way, left, right, middle, male, female, doesn't matter what, Dianne Feinstein releasing this report on the supposed torture, on this terrible thing that America has done to people who have killed Americans, men, women, and children, and who want to kill more. In fact, if given the chance, would wipe America off the face of the earth, all 350 million of us. They wouldn't leave a building standing. And she releases this report, which everybody agrees was done strictly by primarily her staffers and reviewed only by the Democrats on the Senate Intelligence Committee, who, by the way, are, you know, she's no longer the chairman of that committee come January. There'll be a Republican chairman. The committee no longer has a Democratic majority. There'll be a Republican majority. Gee, I wonder why she released that report now. But everybody, there's a growing consensus. She released that report for one reason. Because she is pissed off that the CIA had the gumption, had the nunez, to do some, shall we say, wiretapping of that committee staffer's computers on several occasions, according to a glowering Dianne Feinstein in front of the cameras. I mean, I thought it was very telling when she was interviewed about this, and she's getting all sorts of slap down and negative feedback on releasing this report. All of it, not only all of it warranted, but not enough of it. And her defense was, well, they looked at our computers not once, not twice, but three times. Really, Dianne? You release a report that puts Americans and American military in jeopardy throughout the world, that throws our intelligence agencies, and, you know, they ain't angels. That's probably why they're intelligence agencies, Dianne. Guess what? Into disarray, undermines their morale, curtails their activities because they're afraid of being prosecuted. Yeah, there's actually people on the left that want to go back 10 years and prosecute people who, for the first 8 years of these programs, we didn't have a single terror attack. Only in the last 6 years have we had dozens under Obama. And I got something to tell you about the Fort Hood mess here in just a little bit. So she releases this report, which makes our allies terribly nervous because it gives away some of their secrets, too. You can't gather intelligence unless you have the cooperation of at least some governments overseas. And all she can do is whine about she's releasing it because, I'm inserting those words into what she's saying, they spied on me and they didn't tell me. Oh, poor Dianne. Well, I'm glad she's not the chairman of the Senate Intelligence. You know, she's as despicable as the rest of the Democrats. That's all I can tell you. There are just so few Democrats out there. There are no Democrats left, folks. They're progressives. They are communists. The Democratic Party is really the Communist Party of the United States. I mean, I know you're shaking your head, oh, this guy is like whacked. It is so true. There's some articles here posted under domestic, international, and scandal this week. Read them. Listen to what these people from Obama on down say. Watch what Obama and Holder and their White House advisor, Al Sharpton, say. What? Al Sharpton is a White House advisor? Never mind to Obama, to anything? You know, long ago Obama told us when he was running for president the first time and lying through his teeth, to judge me by who I associate with. Okay, Al Sharpton? Really? Bill Ayers? Jeremiah Wright? Louis Farrakhan? I think I get the picture of you, Mr. Obama, and Mr. Holder. And to see these people intentionally scuttle 50 years of progress in race relations in this country, and that's not to say it's not perfection. It's not perfection. But I'll tell you what, it's better than almost anywhere else. Yes, I know there are some enclaves in Europe that might be a little bit more tolerant. But it's really remarkable the strides this country has taken since the days when governors blocked doorways to universities down there in Alabama, and there were fights over who had to sit in what seat in a bus, and folks really couldn't vote or were turned away at the polls, unlike mailed their ballot sheets now in the mail with no ID required. Another democratic innovation. We've made huge progress. Here's a news flash for all you folks who are racial phobias, phobiotics, whose favorite word in an argument is racist, racial, bigoted. It's because you have nothing else to say. How can you defend any policies of the progressives over the last 20 years, never mind the horrific acts and lack of acts over the last six? But for all you ratiophobotics, you can't say we haven't made great progress. And you know what? All of us can't say there's not some more to do. But for that to be stripped bare, for that to be torn apart deliberately, because we have a president who is a narcissist, who doesn't give a damn about this country, and he doesn't, folks. I'm not making that up. He doesn't care about this country. He loathes its military. He considers conservatives, anybody with a view different than his, particularly if they voice it, to be his personal enemy and detractor. He even perceives, based on some of the things he said in the past week, he even perceives the press, which has done nothing but both smoke up his poo-poo for the last 6 years, to be out of control because, wow, they're asking some tough questions, and there's some things that they're actually writing about they don't like. Oh, poor Barry. What deep-seated psychological, drug-induced, judge me by who my associates influence. What does this portray about this man and the people he has appointed, like Eric Holder? And the gal who heads La Raza, who runs around the White House, and Al Sharpton, who sits there with the president in the Oval Office, been there like 80 times in the last year and a half, spewing his ignorance and racial hatred. And it's just disgusting. God, it's just disgusting. Does this president and Eric Holder really think, after inciting people with a wink and a nod and giving you a pat on the head, it's okay if you're pissed off and it's okay if you demonstrate and, oh, gee, they shouldn't have broken into all those poor businesses? Do they really think that after doing that, they're helping racial relations with pictures of mobs breaking into ma-and-pa stores, people's whole lives being ruined, who had nothing to do with this, including people of their own skin color, other minorities, immigrants, all these groups that the president says he's so concerned about? The president is a liar. The president of the United States and his attorney general and virtually everybody, there are a few exceptions, that he has appointed in his little shadow government of progressives, which right now is strangling intentionally this country, are liars. Flat out, straight out, look you in the face, and knowingly tell you the untruth, liars. I've been saying it for years. It becomes more apparent with every passing day. even the lowliest of his quote-unquote appointees that he uses our taxpayer money to fund, like Jonathan Gruber, is a liar. And he's one who's inadvertently admitted it. You know, more tapes have come to light. I think there'll be some posted here under Obamacare or scandal today. At least I hope so. If not, we'll have them posted next week. It's just unbelievable. And this is happening in certain, not all. There's some state governments which are rocking and rolling. There's some states which are moving forward. I mean, they're doing a great job. From the governor on down. But there are some states that have this same thing happening at the state house, just on a state level rather than a federal level, Colorado being one of them. The outgoing Democrats doing their little scorched earth on a state level policy changes and, you know, last little rules and last little laws and, you know, leaving little landmines in this piece of legislation or the other. It's absolutely outrageous. I mean, it makes you sick to your stomach. This is after an election. Remember, these are the first people that will stand up, like Elizabeth Warren. Did you see her speech this week? This is a democracy. That's right. That's right, Elizabeth. Actually, Elizabeth, it's not right. You know, we know you're a senator. And maybe senators don't know a lot, but it's a representative republic. It's the only one like it on the face of the planet. But nonetheless, it infers the word democracy, or at least the way you folks try and use it. It infers that, you know, when most of the people want something or don't want something, that's what their government, that's right, it's their government, not yours, Barry. Not Nancy's, not Harry's, not Elizabeth's, not Gruber's. It's the people's government. And when the people don't want or do want something, particularly by a wide plurality, and you know, when you start getting into the 65, 67, 71, 73, 77 percentiles, that is a wide plurality. Then their government should do or not do what they want it to do or do not want it to do. This is kind of basic. It's also kind of the Constitution. And the minority is protected because they get to stand up, beat their chest, say anything they want, jump up and down, do peaceful protest, whatever they want to do. The Constitution protects them too. And they get to work hard to be the plurality tomorrow rather than the very small minority today. That's what it's all about. But these people don't care. They don't care that 9 senators got thrown out on their ears, unfortunately 6 years too late in each and every case, 12 years in some of the cases, and that senators with more conservative views were elected, in most cases, by double-digit numbers in elections that literally were just a month ago, a month and a week. They couldn't care less. They're just continuing down the course. Did you see Udall from Colorado, whom I have never liked, in fact, make it despised, who got his butt kicked by Cory Gardner? Thank God for Colorado and thank God for the country. Oh, no, he had to stand up at the deal and he had to call the CIA liars. I mean, you know, he had to get that last progressive jab in the try and undermine some of the things that progressives don't like. Hey, Mark, here's a clue. You lost. You're out of here. You're done. You're toast. We don't care what you say. That's why you're unemployed. as of December 31st, and good riddance. And the same to the other eight that got bounced out, the liars who support Obama's lies. And you know, as I'm talking here, I find myself kind of getting more and more angry. And it just clicked with me. I now understand the perceptible discontent and anger that I'm feeling in people, in their words, in their actions, in the look they give you if you happen to say a particular phrase or mention a particular political name. Because when you lump it all together, folks, it does make you angry. On the flip side, you know, it is the holiday season. Whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate, welcome to America. You get to do whatever you want. Even though the progressives would rather you do just what they want. And it's a special time of year, you know. I mean, there's lots to be thankful for. Your friends, your family, your freedoms, although they've been impinged and lessened and worn away at the edges and frayed intentionally by people who don't care about you, who only care about themselves and their ideology. And it's a time when we kind of get to take a little deep breath, sit back, relax, enjoy our travels. Enjoy a big old turkey or whatever you have on Christmas or during the Hanukkah 8-day feast. And it's pretty special. And I want you to keep that positive thought in mind while you wrestle with some of these other less positive thoughts. I want to thank all those folks, and I mean hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks who've come down to say hi. Readers, friends of readers, folks who listen to this radio show at all these book signings. Remember, if you go to threadswestseries.com, that's www.threadswestseries.com, there's a little tab up there in the upper left. Just hit it. Book signings gives you my schedule. Love to see you, folks. It is great seeing you. Come on down, say hi. Oodles and oodles of folks buying books. I mean, it's been really remarkable. Even my publisher has called me and said, "What is going on? We can't believe how many books are flying out the door of all these stores." Well, you know, I think people are hungry for America, and that's what this story, the Threads West series, it's all about. It's a story of us. The story of America set in the West. And lots of people buying them as gifts, and I would love to sign a little deal, you know, from you to whoever you're giving it to, by me, Merry Christmas, or whatever you want me to say. Absolutely my pleasure. Keep your eyes open, folks, for some little hoodwinking and little stuff that people are going to try and get done up there in Washington over the next several weeks before they're sent packing after being unelected. And particularly watch the Oval Office, Valerie Jarrett, the real President of the United States, and her crybaby charge, whose name is Barry. Watch the things they're going to try and slip through here while everybody's fixated on the holidays. I think you'll find it interesting. And hopefully, the folks we elected will undo it. The first thing they do when they walk in the door in January, they will undo this mess. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the road and on the Right Side Radio. You have a great pre-Christmas, pre-holiday week. Travel safe.